Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we continue our expository study of the Epistle to the Galatians. And we are working our way through chapter 5. And in this study, we're going to zero in on verse 5, which we ended on in our previous study. And this two-part study is titled, The Hope of Righteousness by Faith. As you will see, this statement of fact about the Spirit-filled Bible believer is a very important reality that we must take note of, not only for our own spiritual well-being, but also to expose the fleshly, anti-biblical false teachers who would deny the imminent rapture of the church before the time of Great Tribulation. And before beginning our study, I want to share a letter we love from a listener named Chris, who writes, Good evening. I have been watching your videos on YouTube. Thank you. I am learning so much. I'm excited to get into my KJV Bible. And Chris comments on our teaching on the apostolic sign gifts and asks some questions, and then simply closes by saying, Thank you, Brother Greg. By the way, your Christmas tree video on Jeremiah was great. And of course, that little portion of Chris's letter says so much about what our intentions are here at Bible Believers Fellowship. And the first thing, beyond knowing that a person is saved, is to then help them to fall in love with that book. And if you're listening to our teaching, and you not only learn, but you get excited about opening up your King James Bible, then we know we're doing the right thing. If you'd like to see our videos or download any of our other audio studies, simply go to bbfohio.com and you'll see several video playlists right there on the front page. And you can click on the link in the top menu for sermon audio, and there you'll find all of our messages numbering into the hundreds available for you to download free of charge. And folks, we want to emphasize this. Some of you do send us donations, and we are very thankful for each and every one. But we are not asking you for anything. We want these messages to go out free of charge. And if you give as the Lord leads you, then do so by all means. But don't ever feel like you can't use our downloads. And you can not only download them, but you can share them with others. You can make CDs, DVDs, and especially just sharing the link to bbfohio.com or bbfohioradio.com. It can be a part of your personal ministry, and that's what this is all about. We want to get the word out in these end times. And if you'd like to write to us, you'll find our email address posted prominently at bbfohio.com, and some have asked, and we do not provide a link because of the spammers. And they abuse that link and fill our inbox to the point of making it impossible to find your letters. So you have to copy and paste or type bbbfohio@yahoo.com into your email browser and send your letter to us. Or you can write to us by U.S. Postal by sending your letter to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. That's P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now let's begin our important study of Galatians 5:5. We've titled this two-part study, The Hope of Righteousness by Faith.
Amen. We titled this study of this one verse. If you remember, we in our previous study in Galatians, we went through the first five verses. We do this because that's the way God wrote it. Amen. If God wrote it that way, you ought to read and study it that way. Amen? Amen. Now, we do topicals when they, you know, from time to time they help us with our study. And this is sort of like a topical because we're going to take one verse and really break it down. I want to really look close at this one verse that we ended with in our last study. And we titled it The Hope of Righteousness by Faith. That's actually some of the words of the verse. So let's read Galatians 5:5. I didn't ask Sean, does everything look good back there? Yes. Everything look? We had technical difficulties Wednesday, and it wasn't Johnny's fault. There's something going on with the camera and everything, but we're going to have to keep a real close eye on it for the audio. So at Wednesday, how many of you are here Wednesday? All right. If you didn't get to see that and you want to go online and watch it, it's me in my family room in front of a TV screen. Well, I use this TV screen as my screen. It looks good. I mean, everything except for my face. There's nothing I can do about that. But everything else looks good. And so we put all the material out there. It's not as fun, though. You know, when we have these studies and y'all, you know, I say our theme at this church should be chock full of nuts. Just like the coffee, you know. Because it's just great having all the local yokels here. And Thomas didn't yell at me when I was teaching in my family room. I need to get you on tape. And it's like every once in a while I'd have him just say, ah, you know, or something. All right, so we left off with this verse in our last study. Let's just read this. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. This is one of those verses where you're reading it in the context and you can kind of just skip through it, you know, like skipping through the tulips. And I want to break this thing down because it is so important, especially in this last day that we're living in. People are losing faith. And when you lose faith, you lose hope. Two of the words there. Faith, hope, and charity is in 1 Corinthians 13 in your King James Bible. They changed that in the new version, so burn them. And faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity. I'm here to tell you, you cannot receive and experience charity. And that is the word that we refer to love. Well, today the word love doesn't mean anything.
That's right.
And charity is love in its truest definition.
Amen.
Charity is you not thinking of yourself.
Amen.
And the world says you cannot love others until you love yourself, and that's a lie. That is a lie from the pit of hell. If you don't believe me, look around. Everybody in the world has that motto, and they're creeps, they're wicked, they're self-centered, they're liars, they're cheats, they'll backstab you because they love themselves.
Amen.
You don't need to love yourself. You need to understand you're a wicked worm who deserves to die in hell. You deserve to be in a lake of fire for eternity. So what do? Oh, I love myself. What kind of sick freak are you? Why would you love something like that? Hello. It's true. It's just the truth, folks. So what do? We realize that if we will recognize we're a worm. By the way, in the hymn books, where the song says, that he would, alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign
die.
He says, would he
devote his sacred head to such a worm as I?
Would he devote his sacred head, meaning that he was killed on the cross, and they put the thorn of crowns on his head, for such a worm as I? And all these feel-gooders today have taken the word worm out.
Yeah. Sinners.
Because they don't want to feel bad about themselves. They want to look in the mirror and say, gosh darn it, you're a good-looking guy and people like you. What's that guy's name?
Stuart Smalley.
That's it. We live in a world filled with Stuart Smalleys. And that's very small. What you recognize is you really aren't worth anything in and of yourself. But here's the thing. If you will stop controlling your life, if you will stop being all about yourself, and you turn with repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, He will save you and His Spirit will come into you. And then as you read His Word, His Spirit will transform you into someone who's lovable.
Amen.
But not by the world. See, there's the catch. Don't expect the whole world to love you. The world will hate you.
That's right.
So what do you mean? I mean God will love you.
There you go.
And true Christians will love you.
Amen.
And those are the only people who matter because the rest are going to hell.
Amen.
And so the people who matter, you'll be in heaven with for eternity loving each other.
Uh-huh.
See, God didn't create you the way you are. He created Adam perfect and Adam fell. And since then, all of us have the stain of sin.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's blasphemous to say God created me as I am.
Amen.
What God created is in a fallen form now, and so we can be saved, and eventually we will be the image of His Son. And then you can't help. Listen, the only person right now that is really easy to love as a Christian. I know I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings this morning, but I'm telling you the truth. You're not easy to love.
Amen, brother.
You're not.
Amen.
Some of you can be downright jerks. I mean, you ought to see my wife when she's hungry. But man, when you feed her, it's like, oh. Oh, I'm talking about myself, and I know good and well. I can be cranky, and let me tell you something. You start attacking this book. I got people out there who are preaching the gospel of Sodom, preaching you don't have a change of heart when you get saved. All you do is just believe the facts of the gospel, and that's what most of these preachers are preaching these days from what I'm learning. And man, I get nasty with them because I can't stand it.
Amen.
They're preaching people into hell.
Yep.
So you can see, do you see how my face changed right there? But I know God loves me, and real Christians love me.
Amen.
And we're all going to be one big happy family in heaven, right? Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's what this is talking about. For we through the Spirit, you can't do this in the flesh.
Amen.
Through the Spirit, we wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now, that's not talking about being saved, because you've already put on the righteousness of Christ if you're saved. The hope of righteousness that's being spoken of here is what we're going to see. Let's just not jump ahead. Let's answer this question first. Read that. What is the hope of righteousness? See how we did that? That's how you treat the Bible. You get in the Bible, you open up, you read that, and you got to ask questions. What does God mean by this? Okay, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness. Well, wait a minute, what's the hope of righteousness? What is that? So let's answer that question. What is the hope of righteousness there in Galatians 5:5? If you're saved, you ought to know this.
That's right.
Jesus is our righteousness.
Amen.
And the basis for our hope.
Amen.
You see that?
Yes.
The hope of righteousness belongs to those who belong to Jesus.
Amen.
If you don't have this hope of righteousness we're talking about, and we're going to expand upon here in a moment, if you don't have it, it means you don't belong to Jesus, or you belong to Him and you're ignorant of what you've received. Sadly, there are people, I believe, are saved, but ignorant. And that's why they have the wrong attitude. They don't walk in victory in their daily life. Look at Colossians 1:27. I want you to turn there because you ought to mark this or highlight it or whatever you do in your Bible so that you can go back and look at a verse, and you ought to memorize this. Colossians 1:27. And we'll see confirmation of what your pastor just said. And if I ever say something and I don't give you a scripture to back it up, you ought to look for yourself and find out where that scripture is. And if you don't find it, you ought to come to me and say, wait a minute, you said something there. I can't find any scripture to back it up. And I ought to be able to show you where it comes from. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Iron sharpening iron. What we find is Christ is our basis for hope in Colossians 1:27. Read that. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, when you are saved, you don't ask Jesus to come in your heart. He's already there. Amen. When you at some point had to realize you're a sinner and you're damned.
Yes.
I mean, that's why you get saved. You understand that you are a sinner, and because of your sin, you deserve hell. And then there's this man called Jesus. And Jesus has come, God manifest in the flesh. Unlike you and me and every other human being to walk the earth, Jesus was without sin.
Amen.
And He not only was man, He wasn't 50-50, He was man and God, 100%, 100%.
Amen.
That's the mystery of Christ that we can't really wrap our brains around, at least I never have been able to. But it's true because God said so.
Amen.
And He demonstrated His deity. in many ways. He demonstrated his deity by living sinlessly, which no man can do.
Amen.
He demonstrated his deity by taking H2O and turning it into wine. He demonstrated his deity by taking the blind and making them to see. He demonstrated his deity by looking at the wind and the sea and saying, "Peace, be still," and it stopped. He demonstrated his power over nature. He demonstrated his power over sickness. And then he walked up to Lazarus' tomb, who had been there for 4 days, and he was stinking. He'd been there so long. And he says, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forth. He demonstrated his power over death by raising Lazarus, but he wasn't done with that. He said, I will raise this temple up the third day. And so they killed him, and on the third day, he sealed his witness to his own deity by raising his own body from the grave. When you got saved, that Christ came into you.
Amen.
That same Christ is in... What's it say? Read it. Christ in you. Well, that means when you got saved, that resurrection power came into you. Now, there's no keys to unlocking that power so that you can, you know, have your best life now or whatever. That's not what I'm telling you this morning. It's not a matter of you, like I said, taking the genie and rubbing the bottle just right, or saying the incantation just right, or putting your money in the right place at the right time and the right amount, or anything like that. No, what we do is by faith, we understand what I just said is true. And by faith, we now walk by faith, understanding that this is just temporary. Christ in you is not the hope for a big bank account. Christ in you is not the hope for a perfect life now. Christ in you is the hope of glory.
Amen.
And you and I are going to put on His glory.
That's right.
Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and
Amen.
Ever and ever. There are no watches in heaven.
Amen.
There are no alarm clocks. Not even a dinner bell. It's important to note that the hope that I have in parentheses, in quotation marks there, is always connected to the rapture and our being glorified. You need to understand that. You need to get that in your mind. And I'm emphasizing that this morning because there are so-called preachers trying to rob you of your hope.
Yeah, that's right.
They're trying to rob you of this otherworldly hope that we have and stick you in this world in really a hopeless condition. And most of them will try to get you to build bunkers and to store up goods and services so that you can survive the tribulation and all that stuff. They want you to feel like that you are not saved from the wrath of God. The tribulation period, the 70th week of Daniel, just like the lake of fire, is the wrath of God. And you have been saved from the wrath of God.
Amen.
In whatever form. The hope of righteousness is, as we read in verse 27, it says, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Read what it continues to say. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. When? At His return. It's telling you that Christ in you is the hope of glory, and that is all wrapped up in the return of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our hope is with confidence in God and His Word.
Amen.
Our hope is not just in this temporary life, but in the resurrection that happens at the rapture. And basically, when we get raptured, let's say if it happens in the next 5 minutes, and everybody here is alive in 5 minutes, and the rapture happens, it's a resurrection. You're going to pass from death to life. You have a body of death on you right now. Your body dies every day and has to reproduce its cells, the skin cells and the different cells in the body, the blood cells. Everything has to be reproduced every day upon the hour. Because you're constantly dying. You are a body of death right now. And at the rapture, whether you're living or dead, there's a resurrection that takes place. You go from death to life. That's where our hope is. Not in this temporary life. And that's what causes so much, not just the depression, because you can suffer depression for physical reasons, physiological reasons. You can suffer depression because of a blow to the head you suffered years ago. There's many things that can cause depression. But there's one way of handling it, and that is to turn constantly to the Lord and in prayer and acknowledging that this life is temporary. This life isn't worth getting depressed over. Amen? It really isn't. Now, the feeling may stay, but it's the knowledge, the faith. You walk by faith, not by sight. That includes when you're battling things like depression. And so what do you do? Well, I still feel depressed. I still feel like I've got a weight on my shoulder. I feel like I'm being dragged down. But I'm going to keep going on for the Lord. Because this life is temporary. This life, it doesn't matter whether it's mental or it's a physical ailment that keeps me down. I'm going to do what I can serving the Lord. And I'm going to continue to love the Lord. And I'm going to continue to trust in the Lord and hold on to that hope.
Amen.
That's a choice you make, folks. That it is a choice you make.
Amen.
Whether the doctor says you've got cancer or you've got depression, it is a choice you make whether you go on in spite of your feelings. And if I'm going to tell you this, I believe if the devil knows making you feel bad will shut you down, he'll make you feel bad. And you've got to show him. And I'm just talking, this is me. I suffer depression. Mm-hmm. I have days where, and I also suffer physical depression. I have that fibromyalgia, if that's what it is. Shuts me down for days physically. I don't feel like doing anything.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
So what do I do? Well, I'll tell you, there is a time where I just sit. And that's when I get those headaches. And if it's something that affects you to the point you can't think straight, don't jump behind the wheel of a car. Amen?
Amen.
Use some common sense and judgment. But there are days where I just feel really bad physically or I just feel really bad mentally.
Yes.
And what do? I go through my day in prayer and say, Lord, help me to do this in spite of the pain. Help me do this in spite of the depression. Help me to keep on doing and doing and doing and staying busy for you because I know that's what makes the devil angry.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Try it. Amen. Just try it. Our hope is in the next life. According to 1 Corinthians 15:19, Paul says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable.
Yeah.
Misery. The people you know who are the most miserable, I'm talking even Christians, it's because they're so focused on what is going on right now in this life. If they can get their mind off of what's going on right now, but you don't understand, preacher. I can't pay my bills. Listen, if I had a time machine, I could take you back to the 1930s with whole towns and villages filled with people who couldn't pay their bills, who lived on butter and oats. And they would sing and praise the Lord, and they went through it with joy. I read an article that was included a letter from somebody in the Great Depression. They said, all those days, I miss them. She's now with me and my husband own our home. We own our cars. We're retired. We don't have to want for anything. We have Medicare, Medicaid, and all that. It's nothing, no problems. Oh, I miss those days. We had everything but money.
Yeah.
Look at that. If we can get our heads on right and think with the right priorities and understanding where our true joy lies and where our hope really is, then this life, I'm not saying that I never ever let anything bother me, you know, not just try to, I'm saying though, even when that happens, I preach to myself in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be thankful because that'd look really funny if I didn't. Hello, Greg, I'm here to tell you that if you'd stop thinking like that and if you'd get your mind straightened down and if you would practice what you preach, See, that's what's going through my head. Be thankful I'm not walking through the aisle of Kroger's and saying that out loud. The concept of a best life now, I'm going to put the brass tacks down right now. The concept of a best, this is blasphemous if you think about that phrase. Best life now is an antichrist, anti-biblical counterfeit. My best life is to come. And I say, thank God. Amen. Biblical Christianity is about our best life in eternity.
Yes, praise God. Amen.
It's about going through this life with joy in spite of this life. It's about going through this life with hope in spite of this life. We are such spoiled brats here in America. We don't know what it's like to really suffer persecution. I mean, I'm not trying to belittle anybody, and I know you get family members and our job issues and all that. You know, we talked about that, and it isn't easy to deal with. But hey, they're not dragging you out in the street and putting a gun in the back of your head and popping the thing.
Right.
And that's what they've been doing to Christians for 2,000 years in other countries.
That's right.
China, Russia, Cuba, that we just, you know, buddied up with.
And the latest one in Oregon.
And what happened in Oregon? Amen. Walked up to people and said, what religion are you? If they're Christian, shot them in the head. And if they weren't, shot them in the leg. It's been going on for 2,000 years. Those people through the years died with joy because they knew their best life was ahead of them. I can't remember the guy who's I'm pretty sure is a Waldensian couple, but I can't remember the names. A couple who were serving the Lord. And they were persecuted and they were in and out of jail, both of them. And came down, they were getting older, and the lady got sick, and she died. And people heard in the distance, you know, it was before TVs and radios and boom boxes and all that. So anybody raised their voice down the hollow, you know, it echoed, and everybody could hear it. And he heard this guy shouting and yelling and carrying on. And so a bunch of them, you know, kind of jogged down there to see what was going on. And they opened the door, and they said, what's going on? Is everything okay? And he's jumping up and down on the furniture and around the room, and he's yelling, praise God, glory, she's gone home, she's with Jesus, praise God, glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
They weren't used to that. When their relatives died, it was, you know. Now, is there anything wrong with crying? No, he was crying as he was shouting it.
Yes.
But in our tears, we can have joy. In our sorrow, we can have hope. All because our hope is not in this life. It's in eternity. And our hope is eternal life. If you're still there in Colossians 1, verse... Did I get the right text? Colossians 1, 28? That's not right. I got the wrong text. Look that up if you would, Jenny. See what text that is if you can find that. Anyway, read it with us. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's in the Bible, I promise. And we are justified by His grace. And that makes us heirs. Titus 3:7 makes us heirs according to the hope of eternal life. See, our hope is in the eternal. Now, let's establish how we receive this hope. It's by faith.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.